Hello, friends. This is We Have Thoughts and our special segment of Conversations with Oscar. Today we are talking about Roma, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, and it is nominated for the following awards: Best Picture, Yalitza Aparicio as Lead Actress, Maria de Tavira for Supporting Actress, Best Director, Original Screenplay, Cinematography, Foreign Language Film, Sound Editing, Sound Mixing, and Production Design. This is Joy.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Anna.
And
here we go.
This is our conversation with Oscar.
And we have thoughts, yeah.
When do we not have thoughts about stuff? We're so opinionated.
That's very true.
I love it.
So, okay.
Where do we even start with this?
Before we get into it and crying.
Accurate.
Stop predicting the future.
I just see it. I'm Raven.
You're that so.
Instead of crying, we're just going to laugh through this because it's so
it's easier
intense.
Than crying.
It really is.
I was visiting some family and we talked about the podcast and I said something about our Golden Globes episode and my cousin Eric was like, "Oh yeah, I listened to it. That was really great." And I was like, "Don't tell me that, but also thank
Erica!
You, but also don't tell me."
Shout out, girl.
Shout out. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Come visit us again.
Please do.
You're cool.
She is cool.
Well, you're all right. I love you.
You know what's also all right? Roma.
Roma.
Segue. Okay, so, wow. What, just general, like, thoughts, just say something.
A beautiful, amazing, outstanding,
I think,
wonderful, the best, great.
Are you quoting that Lady Gaga?
Yes.
Get out, we're not that movie yet.
I'm made of Lady Gaga.
I think it was such, it's a piece of art.
Honestly.
It's really hard to critique, I guess, to me, because it's so personal, it's so beautiful. Technically, there's a lot of great things to look at there,
yeah.
A lot of things to pick out and point, but it's art. It's so gorgeous.
I didn't know anything about anything going into this movie. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that it was such a personal story, and I didn't find out until the credits were rolling, and I instantly started looking up trivia and facts and things, because that's who I am. But even watching it, I was like, this feels like I'm reading someone's diary.
Yeah.
Or
yes.
Like I'm in someone's head.
It's very intimate.
Yes. And I got that. And so once I found out that it was about his nanny, like the person that took care of him growing up, I was like,
yeah, it's like second mom.
Oh my God. Like Baby now I, like, it made what I was feeling, not, I don't want to say justified. Like I understood
the connection,
why it was so intimate.
It is such an intimate look at his relationships with Cleo, who is his the domestic worker that lives with them in the house, but she's the nanny, she takes care of the children. And I did this on purpose. I also tried to literally not listen, not read, not, I didn't want to see a trailer, I didn't want to see anything, because I knew from the critics' talks of what this was going to be and that it was really great and all those sorts of things. So I didn't want to be like clouded by judgment or anything like that going into it. I wanted to see it with fresh eyes. And my fresh eyes were full of tears most of the way through.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. It's face masks. Hi, everybody.
This is like.
That was really loud. I'm sorry.
The most beautiful, one of the most beautiful films I have ever seen, not just because it's physically beautiful and it was shot beautifully and acted beautifully, but because it was basically like Alfonso took Cleo's heart, ripped it out of her and put it in a movie. And that's what we're watching. And I love that it's so different. In Mexico, I guess in just novelas in Latin America in general, whenever you have like a rich family or even a middle class family, they always have like a nanny or someone to take care of the kids and do the housework and stuff. And the story is never about them.
Yeah.
It's always about the rich people, the lighter skinned people, the people with money and whatever. It's never about them. And I think he did such a beautiful job in telling the truth of her story and giving her the respect and the love that she deserves.
Yeah, because typically a movie about your life is about you, not yes. about the people around you.
Right.
Exactly. So that's really interesting.
And his take on that, yeah. the way that he did it, is beautiful.
And I appreciated, like you were saying, like it's movies like this are normally about the richer people. Mm-hmm. And they were such a big part of the story. They were such an integral part of the story, but they weren't over you. Like, they weren't in every scene. They weren't.
Right. Yeah. They weren't the leads here.
Yeah, they weren't the story. Right. As big of a part they played, they were not the story.
Right.
You saw the things happening to them, but that wasn't the story.
Yeah. I think it's so groundbreaking to have someone like Yalitza be at the face of a movie. I think it, when I was doing my research for the stuff, I actually was watching segments from Mexican shows, like Mexican TV shows or talk shows or whatever, those morning shows, and what they were saying about that. And it's really interesting to see how they come about it versus us here in the U.S.
Yeah,
talking about it.
Yeah.
So, because I was, me and Veronica, my coworker, were talking about it, and she was like, this is amazing. Now it really makes you feel like, me coming from my rancho, from wherever I'm at, yeah. I can do whatever
I want.
Makes
it feel
now.
Accessible to you.
Yeah. Like yeah. I can achieve my goals. I don't have to be held back by how I look or where I come from
and
or Yalitza, what I do.
Yalitza is
a school teacher.
She's like 25.
She's
26. Young.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, she's not like from Mexico City. She's
she's from Oaxaca.
Indigenous, yeah. you mean?
She's indigenous.
Yeah,
thank you.
She's an indigenous. She's from Oaxaca. Yeah. And I think that's so, so important to be able to see.
Yeah.
So important to have her be the face of this film. And just to be loved on, have her character be so loved by Alfonso. Yeah. And I just thought, I was like, ugh.
I just love the whole, like, amazing. The whole story behind it. You know, like, he searched for so long to find someone who looked just like her. And he was, like, about to give up. And she walked in. He was like, oh, my God, it's her. That's who it is. He didn't even want them to read any sides. He just wanted to see their faces because he knew in his heart, he was going to know who it was.
Of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, she thought it was like a trafficking scam. So she like had her mom come with her to the audition because she was nervous.
Yeah.
And she never acted before. So he asked her like, hey, do you have a best friend? Okay, well, she can be your best friend in the movie. And so he was hoping that would make her say yes to the role, you know, make her feel comfortable.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. So that, yeah, her
that's
friend.
Her best friend in real mm-hmm. life. Ugh. He wanted her to feel
comfortable.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, she's never done this before. She was a school teacher. She had just taken her exams to become a teacher.
And much like Gabrielle Sidibe with Precious, she went to one audition and now she's nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's insane.
Crazy.
It does make you feel like, wait, I can do it.
Magic can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's such a great, like, because, you know, Oscar's all about narrative. They love the story they can tell when, you know, and Yalitza, which is a beautiful name. Yalitza's, like, story is such a it's a princess. It's a princess story. It's so great. Like, amazing.
I think it's so great because, like, so we're all saying very positive things about this because, obviously, this is great.
We'll but hate on it later. I've got my thoughts.
But the Mexican show that I was watching, it was a talk show, and they were kind of a little upset.
Interesting.
Not rightfully so.
About?
But they were upset because, like, oh, this girl who's never acted before, and we have, you know, we're sending tons of Mexican actors over to Hollywood to, you know, try to get, you know, be in films and do other stuff and whatever. And, you know, they didn't get picked for this.
And but it wasn't about her ability. It was about the way she looked.
And it does have to have a little bit.
Which
I
is
mean,
so
she's
interesting
acting
because isn't normally that what we're angry about? It's they only chose her because she's pretty. She can't fucking act.
And right, and now it's the
point.
Other way.
Yeah.
So like she actually she can
looks,
act.
She
and
looks
she,
to the part.
Yeah, and she looks it. I was like, wow, way to be a hater. You're stupid. I watched one of the interviews with her Vogue Mexico cover.
Such beautiful.
Jesus Christ.
Get out of here.
The way the light hits her
Goodbye.
Face.
Again, another thing about lighting someone who's darker skinned.
Like,
I wanted to say
God.
Something about that. This movie is in black and white, which does he talk about a reason why?
I actually have not read anything.
No, nothing
on
about
that.
The reason why, but I did read that he would dye clothes certain hue because he wanted the contrast to be right.
I did read that.
So there was like some dress that someone wears. It's like a flowery dress. And mm-hmm. so part of it was a little too, wasn't moving. So he's like, hey, can you just paint that? Paint it different. Paint it the white, brown, gray, whatever.
Because it can be bright orange and no one's going to notice. Exactly. Right. The color is going to, I was going to say it's black and white, but it's such a bright film. Like, the lighting was so great. Well,
the light is like its own character.
That I didn't feel like I needed, like I had to like
squint at it or whatever.
Yeah, like some black and white movies, especially the older ones because, you know, the lighting or whatever. But I felt like this one was just so well lit and so bright. And I really liked that.
I don't know if this is the reason, but I'm just kind of like thinking, you know how like when you, in a movie where they go like, let me think of a memory, and they shoot the memory in the past. And it's black and white. Oh, maybe that was the idea.
Like it's his memory.
Yeah. Because this is all from memory. Like, yeah, he interviewed his nanny. Mm-hmm. I don't know her actual name.
Liebel.
Okay, Liebel. Yeah, he interviewed her and asked her like painstaking, like, okay, what did you do? How'd you get up? Did you spring from bed or did you lie there for a while and stare at the sky? What were you thinking? You know, he was asking her all these like intricate questions because he wanted to like
get it right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to be mm-hmm. in her brain. Yeah, I think for okay. So, I don't even know where to start. So, this is he's the first time he's ever shot his own movie. Like he was his own cinematographer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So DP. That opening shot of the water.
Reflecting
the plane reflecting off of the water and the ripples. It kind of reminded me, this is kind of silly, but it kind of reminded me in Rugrats when you see in the beginning episodes, there's like, what is that shape? And then like something comes into frame, you're like, oh, it's a bowl of whatever, or it's a thing of cereal. Like, it's kind of nerdy, that's but so that's immediately what I thought of.
And that's
like,
such a you reference.
Yeah.
Like, nobody else would reference it to Rugrats.
Because I was like, is this a mirror? What is? Oh, it's water. Oh, it's a
Rugrats. They're the same thing.
I mean,
that's so interesting because when I first saw, I watched the first shot and I was like, oh my God, I should be prepared. This is going to be good.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you're just like your opening credits are that beautiful and that's smartly done.
It reminded that well-crafted. Me. A little bit of how I felt during the Call Me By Your Name credits, where it's the very bright, lively music, and then you're seeing all the art.
Yeah.
And their names are just, you know, scrawled in this, like, the font of it. And
beautiful.
Yeah, I just like that it's not, it's its own thing.
Right. Like, they didn't waste a second of screen time.
Yeah.
If he was going to put some credits in there, they were going to be stunning.
That's the artistic nature of it. You know, it's throughout, it's everything.
Yeah,
you know,
to the cinematography of this, it is absolutely stunning. Yes.
Like, I love the long panning shots that he had of the entire house because it's kind of like when you go to a new place and you turn around to survey the area.
Yeah,
it felt like I was there. Like, I felt like I was in the house with them. I was like watching TV with them, watching them. Like, I felt like I was standing there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He did such a great job of creating an atmosphere and creating what it felt like to be in that house and mm-hmm. be in that time. You know,
it's so critical, obviously, how you shoot something, but the reason why it makes me feel like it's such a like art, like a piece of art, is because every single shot was a photograph. Everything was a photograph.
Everything had such a purpose
to it. Yes. Yeah. There wasn't anything in the shot or in the set that wasn't supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about, because while I was watching, I was like, the tea on the table, on the tray, the dishes, even the dishes that she was washing and her hands in the sink, the clothesline, like everything, you could take that still and it would be a photograph. It would be a work of art.
Was he ever a photographer beforehand? I wonder.
I read
that he studied like cinematography in film school. So mm-hmm. like he understands the basis of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's talent. Like, not everybody really can do that.
Like,
you know?
you can't always teach that.
No,
because like you can learn the actual like facts and stuff about like how to take a photograph or how to set up a scene correctly or whatever, but like actually going through it, you just have to kind of like see it and know.
You have to have the right eyes for that too, right? Like, not like, because
the right vision,
he could look at something and I look at the same thing and not get what, you know,
and you don't want to shoot it the same way.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very interesting.
So
it also reminded me of that car scene in Children of Men where, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but like, again, it's panning slowly all the way around the car. So you're getting a sense, like, I'm there. Like, I feel like the tensity and feel what's happening. Like, I and I kind of was already, but this confirmed it. I'm such a fan of his directing style.
Yes. I actually watched.
Fantastic.
I rewatched Children of Men before I watched Roma. Because mm-hmm. I was like, I want to just get like a feel for him again. I want to just like revisit yeah. that yeah. a little bit. And yeah, it was so like story wise, two totally different stories.
Yeah.
But you do see the similarities in his directing, like the last shot. The ending shot with Children of Men is on a boat in the water.
Yes. Oh
my God. The towards the end of Roma, there's them on the beach in the water, and it you can just see water. You don't see any land.
Or even like in Gravity, when like Sandra Bullock is like on in space, and he's slowly panning, and you just mm-hmm. see the Earth. Like you get a feel like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm with her. I understand right. the That's atmosphere.
The feeling is, oh shit, I'm here.
Well, like, why yeah. am I here? Oh I should God. Not but be here. Yeah.
He's such a good job of making you feel yeah. like you're there. That's yeah, so yeah. fantastic. I wrote one for tamales and two for tortas. So that's our workout regimen, everybody. Yeah,
we got to do one for the tamal, two for the tortas. We got to work out a little more. When she was doing the Vogue Mexico cover, one of her quotes on there was like, she said, my skin, very Mexican, very Oaxaqueña, and very human, from the color of my land and the diversity of its colors.
Ooh. Wow.
And I was like, that whole video where she's talking about like her and where she comes from and why it's so wow. important for her to be there, I was just like, bitch, I'm I don't even know what to say, because she's just so eloquent.
Wow.
And she's just so like, she has a beautiful spirit. And I was watching one of the interviews with Alfonso, and he was like, when I saw her and she smiled. When she smiled at me, that's when I knew that was the same smile. And I was like,
wow.
Okay, so this crazy, crazy thing that I did not even think about it, because my brain and how it connects Spanish and English is just ridiculous. It's a palindrome. Roma, backwards, is amor.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. What?
And I just realized that today. And I was like losing it. I was like, oh my God, it's love. And you know what? Like I saw the video of him talking about like how he came up with the title. And he was like, well, I didn't even actually have a title while I was shooting it. It just, we said it was the Roma project because it's in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of stuck. And so he's like, it's just by luck that it ended up being Amor backwards.
I just can't believe that they wow. had a script while they were shooting.
They didn't?
No. So what he would do is he would get together with the actors every day and like, okay, this is what your character's feeling. This is what their, you know,
and they get motivation like those scenes on the day.
In like, yeah, like the scenes on the day.
He shot it chronologically.
Yeah. So they had nothing prior.
That's so interesting.
Nuts. That's freaking nuts.
The fact that he was able to shoot it chronologically is just a feat in itself.
Yeah, he basically just told the boys, like, just fight. Just argue. Just keep fighting. You know, that was there.
Which makes the original screenplay interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So was it compiled beforehand and they just decided yeah. to disperse it? Or yeah, was it
yeah. they like, were, I think what he said is he only gave them the script for whatever they were going to shoot that day.
Yeah.
But and that's as far as they
so
knew.
So nervous.
And you know what? It's really interesting. And I think it actually works out with the fact that, you know, Yalitza's not an actress. Hasn't acted true. Prior to this.
Mm-hmm. She has no, like,
because if you get that, you have the initial reaction, the initial emotion to help you evoke that on film. And I think for this sort of movie, for this role, it makes sense. Like, it's terrifying. But it makes sense for this that, like, you... I'm just thinking, like, her before the hospital scene, like, she didn't know anything that she was going to shoot that day.
What's like and they life? Told you don't her. Know what's going to happen in life, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. So he wanted those, like, raw emotions
yeah.
up there.
Yeah, wow.
So she didn't even know, like, the general gist of the story, like, this is what's going to happen
to
you.
They didn't get no, they just know, him. Like, what they were shooting Shit. From there. Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Shit.
That's freaking nuts. Crazy.
Finding out you're pregnant, be like, oh, okay, she's going to be pregnant, and then...
finding out the rest of it, you're yeah. like, oh God, okay,
I'm gonna cry.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I love the
way he tells the passage of time is really interesting. Like, so I side note, my dad actually watched this movie, and my dad's from Mexico, and he was saying that he related to it so much, even though it wasn't about like a guy from who lived, you know, on the ranch or anything, because when she's listening to the radio, he remembers hearing that voice on the radio when he was a kid. And he's like, how did he get that guy's voice? Like, I remember, like, and he, all of these things that were happening in the background were triggering memories in his head while he was watching it. Wow. And he was saying, like, I remember hearing, because the band's playing in the street. That means it was September, their Independence Day.
Right.
He remembers seeing a band on the, you know, just marching in the street playing, and the guy selling the ice creams and little cart thing, or the guy running around or walking around the street offering sharpened people's knives and stuff. Like, he remembers a theater where there was a bunch of people hanging out, you know, they couldn't afford to go, and he said he could move until he was like 9 or something, but he remembers that sounds. And he said that one time they were, when he was like 16, they went to Mexico City, and it was the first time he heard that different dialect. Mm-hmm. And was like astonished because he never heard that before. And he was like, he said, I remember they all look like her. They were very petite and long black hair and in the same facial shape, you know, and he heard her speak and he was just like, what is she saying? You know,
it's Spanish.
It's crazy how big the world used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, where you were is what you knew.
Yeah.
Now we have the world at our fingertips, and if I want to know what someone from this location looks and sounds like, I can find it.
Yeah.
But for him, he had never heard or seen, like, that's,
yeah, he said that was, he was so like,
and that wasn't that long ago, that wasn't 100 years ago.
That was like 1971.
It's just, he's remember just like staring at her like, what is she doing? Because they're on the bus, and then she got off, and then they went back to their village, and, you know, because they'd go to the city for things and then go back to the village and stuff. I mean, he remembers like whenever she goes to find her boyfriend and his friends are like in that house, that local hut. Mm-hmm. There was a bunch of just like random huts that they'd kind of like put together, like little boxes, basically, like, you know, that they live there. They're very small, and he remembers that a bunch too. And he remembers seeing people in open fields, you know, doing like working out, like yoga, like he was doing things like that. Like, he wasn't prepared to relate to it and remember things as much as he did.
Which is so interesting.
And I think that's so cool.
That's crazy. Cause like, me and your dad are obviously not the same age, but even when I was watching it, the same things, sort of some of the same things that like stood out to him were things that stood out to me. Cause I remember the kids marching in the street, playing in the band and all of that whenever I was growing up. And it's weird. It's like the way that he shot it, it's just like nostalgia and like a memory, but also like you're there.
Yeah, like, and I didn't grow up in Mexico, but I felt like nostalgia as well. It's very interesting to me that it's very relatable in like ways that you don't even realize.
I think we've nailed it on the head when we say he filmed a movie, he filmed a memory.
Yeah,
like 100%. That is what it was. And that's what it feels like too.
He was able to achieve it, because a lot of people will try to like, oh, I'm gonna bring back this sort of aesthetic and like make it fit in, and like it's how, you know, I would remember the time. But like they really with the production and with everything else, like they really worked towards building it that way, and it was shot that way.
And I think the black and white made it more intimate.
Oh yeah.
If we had seen all the color, it would have.
Because Mexico is very vibrant. It would have been kind of distracting to have a lot of that.
It wouldn't have taken away from the story. It just would have been another element that it didn't need.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
because I honestly think I don't think I could have watched the birthing scene had it had color, actually.
And you know what?
I think it was hard to watch anyway, but I don't think I could have. I would have probably closed my eyes the entire time because that was too much for me to take.
Speaking of things that it didn't have. Okay, so it wasn't in color. So it was all in black and white. It also doesn't have a score.
You're right. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I think that
I didn't even realize that until just now.
I think that that helps it even more, because like whatever's in the movie is whatever's necessary. There's nothing in there that's not supposed to be in there. It's only the absolute necessary things in order to make this work. And it worked.
Yeah, because life doesn't have a score.
Yeah, I was going to say, also, when you're remembering something, there's no music there.
Yeah,
no.
But also,
you can remember a song, but you're not. It's not going to, your life doesn't have a soundtrack necessarily.
Yeah, it's not, like, there's not, yeah, I can't. Yeah, having a stroke again. Oh, fuck. The stroke took the thought. Continue.
Score.
So a lot of the scenes.
Oh, the score. I feel like when there's a score, like it's the easiest way to relate this is like when you're in the movie theater and you have your popcorn, you know how if there's a quiet moment, you don't want to eat it because everyone can hear you. I feel like that this movie made me be quiet. This movie made me be still. Like if it had a score, it would have allowed me to move around more and I probably would have been on my phone and checking things. But because it was so silent, it made me stop and watch.
It's like watching a home movie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like his home movies, but really great lighting.
It really is him talking.
You know, a lot of the scenes, I loved how there's something or someone that's a steady focus with a lot of things going on around it. Like, I really enjoyed, first of all, that whole theater scene. She's in the theater.
Oh, my God.
I love how he shot it farther back to where you can see the screen and her.
Yeah, and instead then, of shooting it in two different shots and editing back and forth.
Yes.
Yeah.
The movie's going on and everyone's, like, reacting to it because it's a space movie, which... Funny enough, not to gravity. But it's movies going on, but they're having like this really intimate conversation because they're like making out, and she tells him. And then when she's walking out of the theater, there's all this commotion going on, and people are selling things and whatever. And
but we're just still.
She quietly sits down on the stairs. But the birthing scene as well. She's in the foreground. There's so many things going on behind her.
Yeah.
Whenever the guy at the New Year's party, he's singing and there's all that fire around him.
Yes.
That's another thing that's there's some like
because like even like when you're thinking on your memories, you're not like you can't remember every single thing that's happening. You're really focused on like, oh, what was I doing or what was this person doing in that sense. Not to like be like I'm amazing or anything, but
you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did a photo series back in college, so I had
the one I started. Moved
away. What
is the one I started?
No, it's a different one. It's when I moved over here.
Oh.
It's okay. Okay, so this is nominated for Best Foreign Picture and Best Picture,
yes.
Like Amour was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I couldn't remember was if Amour was nominated for both, because I knew it was Best Picture because we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up winning the Foreign and not Best Picture. That's so I'm wondering...
Who won before. Best Picture?
Ooh. Who did? I don't remember.
What year was that?
She had a computer look.
2012?
That's happened before, not with Amour, but other ones as well.
So an interesting point that you brought up is that it could probably do that too.
Yeah, because it's nominated for foreign. Yeah, like she said.
Yeah.
So it could get one and not the other.
The Artist.
That was a good movie. But no one watched it but me.
Wait.
I watched it too.
Was that?
The Artist won, yeah. I remember.
I know it won, but is that the same year? Because I thought that was the year that...
That what?
No. Okay, it must be the 2013... I'm looking at the list of Best Picture nominees and Amour is not on there. So it was 2013 Oscars. Sorry, continue.
So interesting thing about this is there's so much foreshadowing.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't, like, I didn't really think about it initially until I was thinking back about it. Like when she is looking at the newborns and then like
the earthquake happens. God.
She's at the New Year's party and the cup falls and the steady shot of the water, you know, it's, the youngest boy and her on the top of the roof and they're laying down and he's like, oh, I think he says like, I want to die or I'm dead or something. Like
no,
that.
I just watched it. He was like, oh, I wrote it down. Where'd it go? Oh, he's like, oh, I'm just pretending to be dead.
Yeah,
I like being dead.
I like being dead.
And then she lays down with him and says the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
It was Argo. Undercutting. Sorry.
Argo. Oh, okay.
I was like, I know I watched more that year.
Oh, so anyways, okay, so back to the cinematography. I'm not an Oscar award winning cinematographer, blah, 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 whatever, because I don't even know
robbed.
I don't even know how to do that.
Can't believe you were snubbed.
But
Rob Stark.
On the side, I am a photographer. I did go to art school, so I paid for something, obviously. So I did a photo series that reminded me so much of this movie, and especially because it was in black and white, because I did in black and white, too. So I moved away. I grew up on the valley in the border of Mexico in the valley. So I spent a lot of my time in Mexico. So a lot of my growing up memories are in Mexico. And I lived there for a little while. So when I was shooting this, and I still have the photos, and I was like, this movie reminds me so much of what I was trying to do when I was taking those pictures.
Because
that's
beautiful.
Like, is it that picture all... that I really liked of like the doorway?
Yeah.
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 It's really beautiful.
It's trying to capture memory, but like obviously there's not, I can't turn back time and make it.
If I could find no way.
I can't make it 1999 again and like put all my cousins in there when everyone was kids and all of our shit lying around the room. But like it was the same feel of like you're trying to take a picture of a memory. But obviously I did not have the access to like the production that
you didn't have the $15 million.
I did not.
Like speaking of production, but, I didn't mean to cut you off.
It was like, oh, so watching this is so like visceral. I'm like, this is what I was trying to do, but I'm not Alfonso Cuarón, so I couldn't do it.
Not yet.
You're still young. There's
and
time.
I was like, oh my God. Because it's all that like, he obviously has a lot of nostalgia and he obviously has a lot of love for Lebo, for his nanny. And I was like, it's all, I was trying to do that because it's like, you don't have this time in this place anymore, but this time in this place gave you so much.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's a good quote, Joy, on that, everybody. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the production design, I love how, because he said that 70% of the furniture is from his actual family home.
Yes.
He had, everything in the house, he had to call, like, his cousins or different other family members to bring in that stuff to the house.
I think he said that his family had, like, a storage.
Yeah.
Where they had all their extra furniture from, like, when they were kids. Mm-hmm. They had actually saved it. So, like, that's some of that furniture is his furniture that was there.
That's beautiful.
It's
I wonder, I think that might justify me my being a hoarder a little bit because I was like I always want to keep all my shit and I'm like I don't know I because one day I'm gonna need this.
I'll make Roma.
Yeah, one day I'm gonna need this
Roma,
random paper.
Your own version of Roma.
I wonder what he was feeling while he was making this movie.
You know what's funny? It's funny you say that because there is a.
She actually talked to him, and no, so he's,
you
he's,
our
he's
good
actually
friend Alfie.
Did, he's going to be live with us here right now.
Alfie,
Alfonso.
What's up?
Alfie, God, of all the things,
you just tell us that they're tight, okay?
Okay.
What would you call him? Corone?
No, I'll just say Alfonso.
Whatever, you're fine,
Tony.
I'm sorry that I. No, I'm not even going to apologize for that one.
Thank you. Next. Okay. So she he did an interview accent. With the Hollywood Reporter, and he talked about how like there was one certain day where he was like getting frustrated with what was happening, like things weren't working or at. He said on this on that particular day, Corn was shooting the sequence in which the father walks out on his family. Mm. He had been talking to the actor about how to approach the moment. Quote, I said, when your family talks to you, you feel smothered and suffocated. But when you get in the car, you start breathing. You drive away and man, you're breathing for the first time. And that's when I realized that I was directing the scene in which my father was leaving.
God.
I've always seen that moment with my with judgment. I've always judged my father for leaving. I never stopped to think what he was feeling.
Ouch.
Whew. So I read that and I started crying because I was like, wow.
That's intense.
That's a lot.
This whole movie is intense. Huh. This is a lot of feelings. They're touching on a lot of topics. A lot of relationships here that I just don't even.
But
like,
it's not smacking you in the face with them.
No,
which I
no.
appreciate.
It's not. Smothering you with these things, it's just showing you what he saw. So on a
oh, you know, another thing, a general theme of this movie is men are trash.
Yeah, if we learned anything from this movie, which I mean, if you're a woman living life, you know this already, men are trash. Her boyfriend or whoever she was with, trash.
And the thing about her boyfriend is like at first I was like, this is a lot of full frontal. I don't want to see this. But I think it was it. I think I wrote it down. Him and his full frontal shows that he has no shame as a person.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
At first I was like, I don't want to see all of this. What is happening? But then I'm like, oh, okay.
Because later on, like, obviously he has no shame about being violent and disgusting and murdering people.
Yeah. He doesn't try to hide it at all. No. He straight up like leaves her
He's
in the
fucking
theater.
Gross.
You know? So that full frontal.
He left her in the fucking theater. Like that blew my mind.
Like, you don't even have the decency to just be like, hey, I'm sorry. This is not my thing.
Or just
I've got
to
go.
See
Bye.
You through to the end of the date and then never call her again. Like
he
ghost her
so
like a
fast,
normal person.
He's like, not even peace. He just
but
no.
That
he just
actor,
outed.
He just dipped.
That actor is being denied his visa.
I saw that. He's been denied
God,
three times already.
And he's not going to make it to the Oscars.
No.
Wow.
Fuck you.
That's just some bullshit.
Rude.
So speaking of him,
I think that's like the 10th time you guys have said at the exact same time.
Oh my god, are we like connected in the brain?
We live in the same house.
Well, she lives in the same house too.
She's been gone for a couple days.
This is true.
Please save me. So
mind meld.
Wow.
We need to watch Riverdale again so we can get back on this in sync. Oh my god. And then Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay out of that one.
Okay, yeah.
So the stop talking.
Another thing, I just so I get out of my head. Jesus. When they're in, he's in the camp and they're training. Amelia thought, "Let's get down to business."
To defeat.
The Huns. The Huns, yeah.
So really interesting, the actual history of this, because this is all obviously based on his memories, but mm-hmm. there was some really important historical shit going down in Mexico.
Yes.
At the same time. So the party that was in power in Mexico called El PRI had been in power since like 1920 something. And 3 years prior to the events of Roma was the Tlatelolco massacre, where the government, obviously this bad government.
We know nothing about that.
No, not
at
all.
What does that mean?
So a bunch of students were protesting against the government, you know, mm-hmm. and which I find it really interesting. Around this time, the civil rights movement was also going on in the U.S., so there was protests there.
I think I know a little bit about this.
Yeah, and there was like other student protests happening mm-hmm. in, I think, Nicaragua, too. So anyways, they were protesting the government, and the government sent snipers in and like shot everyone down, and the military killed these students.
Yes. I heard about, when did I, keep going.
And so the president at the time, obviously not a good guy. So the horrible shootout that Cleo and the grandma find themselves in later on was something that actually happened, which, interesting enough, I think it's named the Corpus Christi Massacre.
It is.
And so when Fermin, who is the boyfriend, who was practicing his fighting and shit over there, on the hill, there was initials. And those are actually the initials of the president at the time.
Oh.
That's what those letters were.
Okay.
What's his name? Echeverria, Presidente Echeverria. And so in their training, Fermin is talking about, oh, yeah, they had a gringo here just last week or whatever. They had some American guy there. So the United States was aiding the Mexican government at this time. They actually sent, like, one of the guys there. He had a CIA cap on.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. Damn. And so they targeted like poor young men because like they're easy to target and they're easy to convince, yeah. unfortunately. And so when the massacre happened, they went in posing as students and that's how they shot everyone up. And then that's how the government was able to justify, oh, look, the students are being rowdy.
Yeah.
The students are causing issues and causing problems and being violent. So let's attack the students. And that's how they were able to get away with that. And what's interesting that I found is when I was reading up on this, that president finally got out and that political party was still in power up until 2000.
Yeah.
So that political party was in power for about 70 years.
Shit.
That's
more than 70 years, which is insane. And of course, you know, the people were trying to fight back, but
it's hard.
Bribing and screwing up voting shit and whatever.
Yeah, a lot of corruption.
Yeah. So the president, the president at the time, he was like, no, I had nothing to do with that, blah, 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 whatever.
Of course.
I think in the early 2000s, they arrested him for these two massacres and charged him with it. But he got away with it because there wasn't enough evidence.
Wow. Wow.
And so even to this day, the Mexican people, the Mexican government are still trying to like get something on him because there wasn't enough evidence to convict him.
The guy that was like teaching them yoga out there mm-hmm. or whatever. Another thing my dad remembered was he was a real person and he remembers his older brothers like wanting like obsessed with him, like they wanted to
really?
Like train with him and like all that other stuff because he wasn't like wow. I think he was just like a yoga teacher or something. He mm-hmm. wasn't like a I don't even remember. But he's like, yeah, he was a real person. I remember seeing him on posters everywhere and stuff.
That's, yeah. That's crazy. So all this, yeah. It's so crazy that they have like all this family drama happening internally, and there's all this build of like social drama outside of the house too.
First of all, them trying to do yoga on the side is me falling over, not steady.
But I loved that she was so steady, like, yes. Just that image of her being able to do it. Again, like, she's this calm, she's, yes, this constant, she is this steady heartbeat.
She another is example, the rock of that family.
Yeah.
Another example of her steady focus and everything around her is, like, yeah, movement. That, yeah, happened a lot.
She is literally the rock of, yeah, this family.
Yeah.
In more ways than one, you know?
Absolutely.
There's an image that I, in the movie, that I, it broke me, is whenever she's telling, the mom's telling the kids, you know, that he's gone and he's leaving and he's... First of all, I would not let him get his stuff back.
Fuck no.
I threw it all in the trash.
Yeah.
Excuse you?
I'll burn it.
I'm not going to leave this house and you to come get yourself while we're not here. How dare you? Anyways, she's telling them he's leaving, and just the oldest boy, you see his like shoulders fall and he's crying and he's very upset, and like, you don't see his face, but you feel everything he's feeling, and that is like heartbreaking.
I know, especially because like,
boy, right?
Yeah, and in the previous scenes, he was like the tough one, the one like poking, yeah, fun at his siblings and whatever. And all of a sudden, something happens, and he just like,
broke him.
Loses
his little
it.
Heart. Broke him.
There, what's so interesting about this and it being focused around Cleo is that like. Yes, the family loves her dearly. Yes, these kids love her so, so much. And then the second that the mom asks her to do something like go get the tea or go get the food or do whatever, it just like snaps you out of like, yeah, okay, no, she, yes, she, they have the love help for her, but she's also the help.
Ultimately, she's the help.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Another thing I really like appreciated is when, again, going back to him, her telling the kids they're very upsetting ice cream, and in the background is a wedding going on. The contrast, God, of
the irony of that is because like this family is like falling apart and another family is,
and
like
that's really
together,
like life, because stuff happens to you and it's soul crushing, but the world goes on. Mm-hmm. Life moves on. Like this, I mean, no one really passed away, like a person didn't pass, but like when someone dies in your life, they're gone, and you still have to go to work, you still have to make money, you still have to like live your life, and it's the worst thing ever, because, yeah, the world doesn't stop for your feelings.
No.
You know?
Ugh. That tough whole scene, while I was rewatching it, the scene that I like stopped on was like the beach scene.
Ugh. That whole scene
whenever
is fantastic.
Whenever she like saves the kids. And I was like, oh my God. And just like, of course, like, mm-hmm, you go through something like, oh my God, you think, you know, your children are gonna like die in the ocean or whatever, and then you just like a literal flood of emotions just comes out and you, yeah, just let everything go.
And I like how he shot that, how it was the sun.
He shot it against the sun.
Against the sun.
Yeah. And, yeah, and usually
I appreciated that imagery that he was creating.
Yeah, and usually in like when you think of photography or cinematography, you're not supposed to do that. That's like the opposite of what you want to do. But he did it, and he did it so well. And the interesting thing is that they were still like well lit on the other side. Mm-hmm. And just that photo, even just the photo of like them all hugging on the beach.
I can't with that.
Oh my God. Ooh. I'm like, oh my God. These, yeah, children and her, and like, they're just like slumped and broken. And just the only thing, she's like holding them together. She's their center.
Oh, yeah.
She's literally the heart of them.
But, yeah, she's also just as broken.
Yeah.
And they're holding her together.
Yeah.
Jesus, Mary, Joseph. My last note when I read the movie, when I watched the movie, was, well, that broke me. Because, oh my God.
It really is like so emotionally daunting. It's just like a whole mountain of a movie that you have to take in. And especially because Cleo feels so human and so real, and like you're like, it's like you're there with her the whole time. And I think that's what really Yalitza really, or in the movie, really benefited from her not having any previous experiences, that she was just able to like be it and feel it and not have, mm-hmm, to worry about like, oh,
overthinking
these acting, yeah, especially with them shooting in chronological order, like that's, well, how am I going to react to this? It's right. your immediate reaction to that.
I 2018 was really rough for me and my family. We had a lot of loss, and it's still very raw, and we're still getting over it and dealing with it, and it just hasn't been the easiest year. But watching movies like this, it just reminds me of like how frayed the edges still are, because like one of those losses was a baby, and having to watch this movie and to see that scene in the hospital, like, ooh, it was rough. But yeah, watching this reminded me just how, like, yeah, we're healing, but we're not healed. And I walked in on my family watching it when I was visiting them this week, and I was like, I'm gonna go take a shower. I don't want to sit down and watch this with you guys. Like, I couldn't bring myself to sit down and rewatch it with them.
Yeah, it's almost like you learn how to deal with it, but it never really goes away.
Yeah.
You know, you learn how to...
It's just a part of you now. Yeah,
there's no really getting over it.
Yeah. And
sucks.
And it's not my first time dealing with loss, but when my grandmother passed a few years ago, like, we had known for a while that it was going to happen, and we were being prepared for it, and so it was shocking, and it hurt, and I, like, dealing with that was really rough, but also, like, I don't know, you're expected to lose your grandparents, like, that's...
It's not a big of a shock.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it didn't hurt, but it was just, it's different than what we've been going through, and yeah.
Yeah, every death is hurtful in different ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's sometimes it hits you harder, sometimes it doesn't.
It's, and I think, what was the movie? I think The Book of Life, where one of the kids' jokes is like, what is it with Mexicans and death? And I'm just like, you know what?
That's
just
a great question.
Every time. I don't know what it is, why we're so, like, focused on mortality and things, and just, we're, not to, like, generalize or anything, but we're fucking emotional. I don't care what kind
what?
Of...
What? Us? No. What? Never.
Not, like, just us, but just, like, I think in just the Mexican culture.
No,
overall,
I know. Again,
because
us?
Because we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. But, like, it's someone's birthday. We're going to throw the biggest fucking party ever. Oh, someone... You know, it's Tuesday. We're going to throw another party. Everything's great. And just, like, we celebrate so hard. And then when we're hit with loss, we
feel it
so hard. Because
we love so hard, too.
Yes.
You can feel the worst hurt if you can love.
Well, yeah. You know? Yeah. I heard this quote that was like, you can love as much as you've been hurt.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, as much hurt and suffering and loss you've felt, that's how much you can love.
That's your capacity to love.
Ugh.
And so I can love a lot.
I can love a lot.
I can give some love.
Jesus Mary.
Tear my heart out while I'm alive. Take it. I don't want it. It's just, we're just so, I don't know. It's just so connected with, there's so much to unpack there. I'm not even going to start on it. Jonathan can unpack this later.
and he can hold me until the pain goes away.
Seriously.
But I would love to cuddle with him.
Oh my God. It would be the best.
Just him, like, on one stroking side. My hair.
Can I put Tan on the other side? Danny. It's just so intense. Like, there's nothing. It has to be a cultural thing, because I have friends from everywhere else, and it's just not the same. Yeah. It's just not the same. Like,
you feel the most
when we're,
and the importance we place on family.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
that's a very Mexican thing. And
yeah, your family is your life. Your family is
ride or die,
for real, straight up.
Yeah, and I remember growing up not realizing that was a cultural thing, and like seeing other, you know, because I grew up in a predominantly white area, and so seeing other families, I'm like, why wouldn't you be with them right now? Like, I just, my brain couldn't understand why they were with them all the time.
My friend telling me about her family reunion, I was like, what's that?
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
you mean like this weekend?
Yeah, I was like,
every weekend?
I was like, well, I'm seeing my three aunts and my four cousins this weekend, like I did last weekend, and like I will do next weekend.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's like a foreign concept to me. Like,
yeah. Which, what? Yeah, like, and that's why, oh God, that's why it was so hard when I moved over here from being in the Valley, because I was like, all my cousins and my aunts and my whole, everybody's like 5 minutes away, 15 minutes away, and I'm fucking 9 hours away.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, 12, 13 years later, it's still awful, because now one of my cousins in Seattle, or somebody else is in Houston. Somebody, like, everybody's everywhere. Scattered. And it's just like, I just want everybody to be together all the time. I just want to hang out with you guys all the time.
Do you guys ever feel like when you introduce people into your family that aren't, I don't know, like my brother's girlfriend or certain boyfriends or certain whatever, they get really attached to the family?
Yeah.
And then, like, your brother's friends and stuff. And I mean, us, but we're a little different because we're the same kind of culture. But, like, everyone gets so attached, not just to you and your friendship or you and your relationship, but to the entire family.
Yeah.
So when the breakup happens or the fight happens and you stop being friends, like, there's a loss.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's sometimes the person that they break up with or the friend misses the family more than they miss the relationship. Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's like we all break up with them.
Yeah.
It's a family breakup.
We're in solidarity and we're like, no, person bad, go away.
Right. Like, and they're cut out for life. Like, they're done. Can never bring them back into your life. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. The family's going to tear it apart.
Exactly. But that person is like, but you guys were my support system too. Where did you go?
Right.
Like, you fucked up. Bye.
Not anymore, bitch. Bye.
So I just read this really interesting thing about its chances for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. So on February 12th is when the 8 days of Oscar voting starts. But on February 15th is when the current temporary deal for the government ends and the shutdown could be reinstated. So they're saying with like it could enhance the voting, like people in support and solidarity for political rights and our political beliefs and support for Mexico could be like, we're going to give it to Roma and show fucking Trump what we think about Mexicans.
Again, this race is so interesting.
Yeah.
So this race could go literally in any direction.
I thought that was so interesting. Like, the government, like,
that could affect
the Oscar voting.
That's insane. I don't know, man. This whole,
what do you think its chances are? Like, do you think it'll win?
I mean, currently from what I see, it's probably the front runner, and because it's gotten so much attention,
it's the most nominations.
I thought it was tied with The Favorite.
It is.
Okay. Those would be 2 years in a row of Mexican directors winning.
Bitch, I'm Oscars here for it.
So brown
again. Yeah, Oscar's again, so Mexican. Again. And he was the first Mexican to ever win for directing for Gravity. Yeah. So shout out to him.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I think it's hard to like I said before, it's hard because it's art, and it's hard to really judge it like we can everything else, you know.
Mm-hmm. Especially because it's so personal. Like,
I almost feel like I'm not allowed to.
Right.
A little bit.
We kind of talked about this right before we watched Roma, because we went and hung out with my sister and played games, and then we came home and watched it. And on our way home, we talked about If Beale Street Could Talk versus A Star Is Born. And we came to the conclusion that If Beale Street Could Talk, like, it said something. It had something to say, and it said it.
Yeah.
Whereas If A Star Is Born, If Beale Street Could Talk. If A Star Is Born.
A Beale Street Can Talk.
A Beale Street.
The podcast.
A Bill Street Can Talk, the podcast.
Oh my god.
It was just a, you know, they were just different in that aspect. And I feel like Roma, along with If Bill Street Could Talk, said something.
Yeah.
Like, it had something to say, and it showed up.
And not like A Star Is Born didn't do that, but this did it, like, blatantly.
Yes, and it was just different. It was done differently.
Also, yeah, this message was a little more, I think it's more poignant than a star.
Kanye.
Yes. Poignant. I feel like it's, yeah, the message was a little deeper and greater than a star.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get to Stars Born, but of the two we've...
Again, why is If Beale Street Could Talk not on here?
It's a shame. It really is a shame.
Let me tell you about artistry level. The artistry level is there. The quality is there. If you nominated, you
can compare if Beale Street and Roma, because yes, the art and the storytelling,
the acting, yeah,
the whole package was there for If Beale Street Could Talk, and the whole package is there.
The directing choices that they were making in each film were excellent
yes, for those films.
Yeah.
And I feel like if Yalitza and the mom could get nominated for this, why is there not nominations for the daughter, what's her name? Kiki Lane.
Oh my god.
Fantastic.
Because wow, oh my god, let me,
her face just made me feel so much. Right?
The amount,
again, much like Cleo, she's very quiet.
Yes.
Yes.
She says a lot with what she's doing.
And those looks that she would give into the camera, I was just like, wow. She's staring at me.
Exactly. Wow. Like, I talk about Barry Jenkins being a fabulous director.
Yeah.
Giving his actors the space to breathe, the space to act. Because we could compare Beale Street to Roma, because they're both made with such love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There is a love there. There is a love for the story. There is a love for the characters. There's exactly, love between yeah, the characters.
And there's a love between the actor and the director.
Exactly. Yeah. There's an intimate portrait of a family's relationship. Why is it not on here? I'm fucked up.
And this is clearly like stories that people of color could only tell, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not something that.
And I mean, it was based off a James Baldwin novel. Like, that is... words!
Because those are both rooted in family, you know?
Yes.
So, again, you know, it's a people of... person of color type of story that can only really be told through these people.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, what better captains of the ship than Alfonso Cuarón and Barry Jenkins?
Yeah.
So, any overall thoughts on Roma? Just any last things?
Quick question, since this is our second episode of Conversation with Oscar, our first being Black Panther, between the two, where's your vote?
Roma. Question. I can't deny the artistry in that. You cannot.
You can't. And no, my,
it's astonishing work.
Like, literally. Just.
I mean, Black Panther has a great message for...
just in general, for the culture.
But it's...
But Roma is so...
It's the artistry.
It's so different.
Yes, 100%.
It's so different and so, like, yeah. I think they're both on this list because they're both very well-crafted stories. I think everybody came together and did a beautiful job, and everybody was getting...
Everybody did the work.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody put in the work. Yeah. Everybody was at 100% when they were doing this.
They did the damn thing.
They really did. They really...
Also,
they,
like, what a time bitch, to be alive did that we're watching that, movies like this, you right? know?
That, like, these are the best picture noms.
Also, how huge would that be if Netflix won a best picture?
That would change the freaking game.
It already is, because,
like, you'd have to take it seriously. You couldn't just be like,
did you see that Hollywood AMC is not including it in
they've had beef with Netflix for a while, but, like,
and I think
Netflix
Cinemark isn't doing it either,
really.
No, I think it's just AMC. I don't know, but yeah, because Netflix has been like the redhead stepchild of, like,
but none of us, like, are, so it's fine.
Like, Hulu won first and Amazon was doing well.
Yeah,
Manchester by the Sea was up there,
and finally Netflix is doing well at both their TV and their movie.
Like, and it's interesting because, like, they're the first ones to really, like, with House of Cards, when it first came out, it was a big deal. It was a big awards winner. Yeah. And they're like, what is this streaming service? It says TV? Like, I don't understand. Right.
They also didn't know, like, what category to put it in.
It was the first one of its kind, really. Like, I remember we used to get Netflix in the mail.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's what we did. So, because, like, our families love movies.
I think it's
our families are correct.
Yeah. I think it's like, they know what they're doing, and they take their time to...
And if,
their strategy is good.
Right. And if they... Since they took their time, they picked the best one for this.
Yeah. They're doing a good job over there.
And I love that... speaking of Netflix, Alfonso's the reason why he ended up going with Netflix is because, like, he wanted it to be accessible to everybody. He didn't want you to have to drive a million miles to go to a big city to go watch it in a movie theater. He wanted you to be able to see it.
The most people.
He wanted everybody to be able to see it.
Because initially he did want it to have it in the theater, but he thought, I don't want it to fall into the fold of, like, art house films that no one will get to see, and they have to travel, like you said, forever to see it.
Right.
I'd much rather them see it in worldwide and easier. Than,
and Netflix is giving it all of the money it can. Like, it's got the biggest budget for campaigning than any other movie this year.
Oh, really?
That's what I just read. And they've got, like, Angelina Jolie behind it, and yes. she's doing work for it, and Charlize Theron had a big screening for it, and
dang,
yeah,
yeah, they're fighting for it. They want it.
It's amazing.
You can taste it.
Yeah, I mean, it's I. If it wins, we're gonna cry again in Mexico, live forever. But
I'm gonna drive my ass down to Mexico and be like, thank you.
Is he gonna be there?
Oh, I don't know. Is he my neighbor? I don't know. He's my abuelo's neighbor, actually.
They've been living next door. Like, thank you, and then walk back.
Nah, bitch, I'm going to go get me some food.
Have lunch, and then come back.
And then I'll come back.
That sounds accurate, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Roma, that's our...
So far, Roma's what I'm putting my money on.
Samesies. So I think we're agreed. So
we're going to talk about the next one when we do, tuned. And then see if our minds change at that point.
Yeah. Stay tuned for more Conversations with Oscar.
Conversations with Oscar.
What did we say? What was
only
the other
on
one?
We Have Thoughts.
Ooh. Ooh. What was the thing we said the last one?
It was like, yup. Yeah. Something was like that.
Yup, yup.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.